Over the next few years, around 100 prisoners convicted of terrorism-related charges are scheduled for release across the country. They were part of a wave of arrests that were made after 9/11, the beginning of the so-called War on Terror. As they finish up their sentences, many face complicated homecomings. NPR's Hannah Alam has this story of one family from Minnesota.
Everywhere Deka Hussein goes, the whispers follow. She hears them at the mall, at weddings, pretty much any gathering place for Minnesota's large Somali American community.
Some people, there was a lady who was asking me a week ago, I swear to God, she came to my face. She said, hey, I just want to ask you one question. I said, what? She said, are you FBI? You work for the FBI? I said, no, I'm not FBI. I don't work for the FBI.
Liars, snitches, FBI informants. Those labels have turned Deka's family into outcasts in Somali immigrant society. The reason? Deka's son, Abdurazak Warsami, was among 9 young men from the Twin Cities who sought to travel to Syria to join ISIS. The FBI disrupted their plot and slapped them with serious terrorism charges. Each man faced a decision, to cooperate with the feds or not.
A lot of people in the community, they are mad because he tell the truth.
Deka's son, Abdurazak, helped prosecutors and appeared on 60 Minutes denouncing ISIS. In exchange, he got a break on sentencing. Some of his co-defendants ended up with 30-plus years in prison. Abdurazak got 30 months. He was released over the summer but still lives under strict conditions. He wasn't allowed to be interviewed. His mom, Deka, is always reminding him not to squander his second chance.
You accept your mistakes, guess what? You're out today. Just follow the rule. You know, don't mess up your probation status. Follow the rule.
But in the Somali community, Deka says, there is a different set of rules. Her family has broken them. For her son, it's the unforgivable act of helping prosecutors in a case that many Somalis see as overreach. They say the government came down too hard on recent high school grads with no criminal history. Deka sympathizes with their pain, but says it's not fair to blame her family.
I did pay the price. I still pay the price. They're still calling me snitch. They're still calling me like I'm a bad person. They wish me dead.
As long as there are voices that seek to penalize anyone who works with the government, then that is going to survive.
That's Andy Luger, the former U.S. attorney from Minnesota who led the prosecution. He's now out of office, but he saw firsthand how difficult these conversations can be. Luger remembers a meeting where 125 Somali mothers and grandmothers sat face-to-face with police and federal authorities.
I said, there are voices in the community that don't want you talking to us. What do you say to them? And a grandmother raised her hand and she said, we're here. We're talking. So does that mean Deka and her son won't be ostracized by many? No, but that's the flip side. That's the other side.
Deka says her son, Abdurazak, is doing well. He works. He comes home. She says he doesn't trust anyone. He apologizes a lot for what he's put the family through. Deka says he already feels so guilty that she can't bring herself to tell him how bad the backlash has gotten. She didn't tell her son that she was on the dance floor at a wedding recently when another guest stared and made a throat-slitting gesture. Deka says it's no longer just painful. It's scary.
It's gone too far. It has been 4 years. I cannot take anymore. I can't take anymore.
Some days, she considers filing a harassment complaint. Other days, she meets with real estate agents. Deka says after nearly 25 years in the Twin Cities, maybe it's time to go. Hannah Alam, NPR News, Minneapolis.